This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
Well, the third preseason game has finally came to a close. And even though we are glad that we have seen some starters make it onto the field for that game, I bet John Harbaugh was not happy with the result of that game. Despite it being a 30-9 home win, which is what you're supposed to do against the Detroit Lions, I don't think he was happy with the end result when it came to the injury bug.
No. The biggest one, Ben Watson.
Absolutely.
Gone.
Achilles tear. Yep.
That's a huge loss for the Baltimore Ravens, even though they are loaded at tight end right now. It cuts down the tight end roster spot by one, so it kind of helps in that factor. But, yeah, that was one of your biggest offseason acquisitions along with Eric Weddle.
Yep, and also when you look at the running back depth chart, Ken Dixon had a slight MCL tear in that game. Of course, according to NFL officials, they have been saying that he will be back in 4 weeks. This, of course, Adam Schefter broke that news first for the Ravens, a rookie running back out of Louisiana Tech. But yeah, getting to the Ben Watson injury, this is a very significant injury for the Baltimore Ravens because your two biggest free agent pickups in the 2016 offseason were safety Eric Weddle and tight end Ben Watson. And tight end Ben Watson was supposed to be your significant pickup offensively because, let's be honest, you sort of had a logjam in the past two seasons at tight end. You look at Crockett Gilmore. You look at Dennis Pitta. You look at Max Williams. You look at those three right there. It was supposed to be a battle between those guys. And now you're in a period where, well, now we got to force some guys to come back to the roster faster than they wanted to. I mean, now you had Dennis Pitta saying, well, despite the broken finger, he'll be ready by week one, same with Max Williams. So let me ask you this, Ray. Out of Max Williams, out of Dennis Pitta and Crockett Gilmore, if you were the head coach of the Ravens, who would be your starting tight end week one against the Bills?
I would say right now Max Williams.
Think so? Really? The rookie?
Yeah.
Over Crockett Gilmore, who has significant playing time?
I would go with Max Williams just because you want to see what you got with this guy and everything else that's been going on with, you know, Crockett Gilmore up and down. He's got significant playing time, but I think Max Williams could be like a spark that you kind of need right now because as of right now, Josh, the Baltimore Ravens are not highly favored to, make the playoffs or go to the Super Bowl or anything right now.
45-1 odds, according to Las Vegas.
45-1 odds by Las Vegas. To put it in perspective, the Washington Redskins have a higher odds of making the Super Bowl than the Baltimore Ravens do. The Oakland Raiders have higher odds than the Baltimore Ravens do. The Oakland Raiders, Josh.
The Kansas City Chiefs, also.
That one I can kind of see.
Yeah, I could see, too. Alex Smith, head coach Andy Reid. Yeah, I could see that, too. But, irregardless, the Dallas Cowboys, who just lost Tony Romo for 10 weeks have a higher odds of going to the Super Bowl or making it to the Super Bowl than the Baltimore Ravens do. So is this the year where you look at the Ravens team and think, you know what, maybe this is the team to ride $100 on going into 2016 because if they're healthy and they're capable, they could actually be a good team, which is not only true for the Ravens, but it's true for any team. Any team that is healthy and capable and can go on a hot streak, can go on a run, that is a dangerous team. Look at the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals have one of the best defenses in the NFC, but at the same time, in the past couple years, they have had an injury bug at quarterback. Of course, last year, Carson Palmer had one of his best seasons, but who knows if Carson Palmer is going to be 100% going into this year by the end of the year, no less. But, I mean, with Joe Flacco coming off of the, you know, ACL injuries with, you know, the return of Breshad Perriman. But Breshad Perriman at wide receiver, by the way, he's going to be making his first start or his first game, playing his first game in week four, which is probably the only thing that you have to look forward to in the fourth preseason game at all because none of the veterans are going to be there. But Breshad Perriman will. He'll be there.
And get on your knees and pray.
Yeah.
That he gets out of that game scot-free.
Hopefully he gets tackled and he gets right back up and runs to the sideline. If he does, then you know he's in the clear.
I'm glad you finished that sentence, by the way. You go, hopefully he gets tackled. Like, wait, what?
Yeah. Well, if he gets tackled and he doesn't get up, then, well, he's injury prone. He's brittle, you know. But at the same time, if he gets tackled multiple times, gets back up and runs to the sidelines, then you know, well, he's over the injury bug now. He's over the Osgood Slaughter's disease or whatever he had.
I wouldn't say that after one game.
Not after one game, but it's a good sign.
I mean, I do remember a long time ago, one Jerry Coleman from 105.7 asked Nolan Reimel infamously, "Are you injury prone?" "I'm not injury prone. Next game, out for the season."
Yep. And as we're looking at the statistics from the 30-9 victory for the Baltimore Ravens, Joseph Vincent Flacco, 11 for 16, 94 yards, got sacked one time, but didn't really do a whole lot to put the game in jeopardy. He actually did enough to lead drives down the field and help them score, which at the end of the first half, the Ravens led 20-6 against the Detroit Lions. And I guess you could say for the first-team defense and a first-team offense, that is kind of what you do at a in a home game against the Lions.
That being said, one of the biggest takeaways from Joe Flacco's performance is the fact that he's still going to probably be running for his life with that line.
He does need a lot of protection. Yes, absolutely.
And that's not a good sign for a quarterback that just came off of the first big injury he's had in his career. And if you can't protect this guy, you're going to be seeing Ryan Mallett at quarterback. Of course, then again, Teddy Bridgewater went down for the Minnesota Vikings in what seemed to be gruesome fashion.
At a practice, no less.
You could think that maybe Ryan Mallett could be trade bait to the Minnesota Vikings, and they could go with somebody else and have Johnson back up Joe Flacco.
I could see that. Yeah, I mean, Josh Johnson, when you look at him, he's sort of a dual threat. Even though he's not doesn't have the arm of Joe Flacco, he does have the mobility that Joe Flacco lacks. So, yes, I mean, heaven forbid if Joe Flacco goes down with another season-ending injury and you have Josh Johnson back there, even if an offensive line that is questionable in pass rushing at the moment, or in pass rushing and pass blocking at the moment, Josh Johnson could use his mobility to get around the line of scrimmage and gain a couple yards on first down. However, I do think there are a lot of questions going into the 2016 regular season with the running back system going there. I mean, Justin Forsett really hasn't been lighting the world on fire with the carries that he's been given in preseason. However, guys like Towson alum Terrence West, in his past game against the Lions, 7 for 43, 6.1 yards per carry. Kenneth Dixon, yes, even though he suffered the MCL injury, will be back in 4 weeks, averaging 6.8 yards a carry. You look at those two guys, along with Buck Allen, it's safe to say that it's a make-or-break year for Justin Forsett, especially at 31 years old, because, let's face it, being a backup running back his entire career, The tread on his proverbial tires in the NFL are still fresh. However, if he doesn't produce as far as yards per carry goes, as well as touchdown situations go, we're going to see a lot of the young guns going in there.
Yeah, because running backs are a dime a dozen.
Diamondbacks are dangerous too.
Yeah, that's why I said that, because running backs are a dime a dozen, and if your time in the limelight is running soft. And you have, you know, weakness on the tread of the tires, they're going to cut you, and they're not going to be able to re-sign you anywhere else. I mean, Ray Rice, the reason why he's no longer in the league is not just because of his domestic violence incident, but it's just because the juice is not worth the squeeze with him. His last year in the league, he was terrible, and that still lingers on many scouts' mind and many GM's mind. They're not going to sign a guy that was terrible his last year of his career, when you've got so many other running backs you can bring up in the wings and just have younger guys come up and step up. Because basically you think of running backs in the NFL. You think of Adrian Peterson.
Oh, of course.
Jamal Charles.
Doug Martin.
Kind of just came out of the blue out of the regular. Adrian Peterson has been your one mainstay guy along with Jamal Charles. Those two right there. You could even argue Marshawn Lynch, but now Marshawn Lynch is retired. It's been Adrian Peterson and it's been Jamal Charles are your one long-term running backs that have had high success in superstardom.
Is it safe to say, as far as the Ravens running backs go, that out of Buck Allen, out of Kenneth Dixon, and out of Terrence West, that Terrence West, maybe just maybe, Ray, is the diamond in the rough? I mean, you have to think. A couple years ago, he was leading Division I AA in running yards, total running yards, when he was at the Towson Tigers, the year they went to the national title game against North Dakota State, was one of the premier running backs going into the draft. Of course, didn't have the elevated draft status. Of course, he was later rounds, but still a solid pickup according to NFL scouts. Is it safe to say if Justin Forsett doesn't produce early and often in the first couple of games in the NFL season that maybe for the 12 remaining games we'll see Terrence West as the RB1 going into several games this year?
I think you might see a triple-headed monster at running back, an RB1, 2, and 3, just based off of the depth that they have, especially if Justin Forsett isn't lighting the world on fire. I mean, you could rotate guys around and see what you get out of each person and see how they hit the holes. It's just, it just seems like it's in today's NFL, running back is just not as sexy as a position as it used to be. I remember in the days of, you know, Emmitt Smith, you had guys you can name off the top of your head, Edgerrin James, Marshall Faulk, Warrick Dunn, all of these guys you can name off the top of your head, they were the kings of running backs. And it seemed like if you had a really, really good running back, Fred Taylor, if you had a really, really good running back back in the day, Corey Dillon, I mean, these guys I named, like, off the play, they played in the same era, Josh. And the two guys that I just named before that, that's all you have right now. Everybody else is just, they've come up over the last couple of years, they've had flashes in the pan, and then they go away. It's just the way the running back position is nowadays.
All right, and looking at the Baltimore Ravens receiver-wise, of course, their leading receiver was Jeremy Butler, who had four receptions for 43 yards and one touchdown. Also to be noted, Mike Wallace has had an early rapport with Joe Flacco, having three catches for 37 yards, including a 20-yard catch. Of course, you want to see that number go up because nowadays you see a lot of guys getting 20-yard receptions. You want it to be 30, 35, 40, 45 yards. That's what you want to see out of Mike Wallace. 20-yard catch, yeah, that's great, but so often it becomes a predictable play for the offense if that is their go-to. You want Mike Wallace to stretch the field, and say if Steve Smith is healthy and is capable, say if Kamar Aiken can build from his 2015 season where he had a lot of reps, if Mike Wallace can be that difference maker as your deep threat, is it safe to say that that could rake a couple of wins for the Baltimore Ravens as far as the stat sheet is concerned?
Considering that he's been the new acquisition in the offseason for wide receiver, if he actually makes a spark, that could be what takes the Ravens over top that 8-8 that 8-8 projection.
All right, another thing to look at as we move into defense, Matt Judon has had a sack for the Baltimore Ravens this year, and this game, I should say, against the Lions. He's been having a couple QB sacks in the last couple of weeks, also been getting a couple tackles as well. Is it safe to say that we'll see the defensive lineman, Matt Judon, in week one against the Buffalo Bills? Now, keep in mind, this is his first year playing in the NFL. Of course, he was drafted in the fifth round out of Grand Valley State. Good-sized defensive end slash linebacker, 6'3", 275. Having him play with Doomerville, having him play with Suggs, I think it's starting to take effect on this guy.
Yeah, you surround yourself with that kind of talent. It's your first year in the NFL, but keep in mind, Josh, it's no longer the fact that rookies will sit on the sidelines and just learn their bumps and learn how the system works. They get put in day one now to play for this team, and they are able to be successful day one, as rookies have seen. So if he can actually be a perennial impact in day one with a line that needs it for a run support, a run defense that just hasn't been existent last year with the loss of Haloti Ngata, it would be well needed.
Yeah, and also we have to keep in mind that not everyone that has a great preseason ends up making the main roster. Sometimes they'll get on the practice squad. I'll give you a prime example of a player, and I guarantee you many people who will listen to this episode won't recognize the name, Nate Bolling. In 2003, had four sacks in three preseason games. In the fourth game, he played all the reps on defensive line and was not the same player, was pretty much schooled around, and only made the practice squad for Brian Billick's 2003 Baltimore Ravens team. So it goes to show you that even though Matt Judon is having a great year defensively in the preseason, he may not make the starting roster going into 2016. Now, another guy who's actually been having a good preseason is one Anthony Levine, the secondary player in this game against the Lions, had four tackles, a sack, and an interception. Also, Ray, the same guy who made a key two-point conversion interception against the Indianapolis Colts in a preseason game. So it is safe to say that even though he's not necessarily a spring chicken in terms of age, he's 29 years old, it's safe to say that Anthony Levine is doing everything he can to make the roster for the Baltimore Ravens, considering you have to deal with Sharice Wright, considering you have to deal with Jimmy Smith, considering you have to deal with Lardarius Webb and Eric Weddle. So I think it's going to be loaded in that situation. Now, also a side note for you free-for-all listeners, we will not be doing a post-game review of week four of the NFL preseason. We hope that it is relevant enough to where Breshad Perriman is very productive, but at the same time, we'll be coming back a couple days after the fact and reviewing the week one game against the Buffalo Bills. Your thoughts, Ray, before the end of the preseason?
I'm going to Myrtle Beach.